again, we just want to thank you. And as we open up your word, we look into it, Father, we just want to learn from you. I pray, Lord, for the kids that are going to children's church. Father, I see that they've had some candy this morning. Father, I pray that you just would help them rein their behavior in. Because, Father, this is what they have to learn here this morning. It's just so important. I pray, Father, that you give children's church a good, blessed, and obedient service. I pray, Father, for all of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you're in fifth grade or below, I call children's church. You may do so at this time. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now, it'll be on the wall, but certainly I always encourage you to take out your own Bible to read along. I encourage you to make notes in your Bible, write in your Bible, underline it, highlight it, bookmark it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as the Son. And we are His house. Let me say that again. And we are His house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to verse number 3. Where it says, the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. And in thinking of Mother's Day, I think of a mom in many ways, at least in my situation, my experience both with my mother and with my wife, as being the ones who really were the home builders. Do you remember that phrase we used to refer to? Used to ask a lady, what do you do for a job? And she'd say, I'm a homemaker. Remember that phrase, homemaker? Yeah. We don't hear that much anymore. And though it's everybody's job to make a home, it's not just mom's job to make the home, dad's job to make the money. That idea didn't work all that well. Because it takes everybody pouring themselves into a home. But you know, somebody needs to lead the way. Somebody needs to be in charge of everything. And you know, moms, you're the one that is going to form certain things in your family that no dad can do. And so I just really want to challenge you this morning to take on that role of being a homemaker. To be the builder of the house. To be the one that puts things together. Knowing that your family is going to be your house. There's a lot of commotion out there. Okay. Now, I don't mean to sound trite when I say this, but you know what? Anybody can have a child. Anybody can give birth to a child. But turning a child into a quality adult is a lot of work. A lot of work. In our society today, too many people spawn a child, and too few people put the effort into raising their child. It has been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, but in too many families, the hand of the mother has been pulled back from the cradle by many things, including the cares of this world. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told a parable of a sower. And this was a story about a man who, you know, it's a parable, so it's a fictitious story to illustrate a greater purpose. But Jesus told a parable about a sower who went out to sow seed. As he sowed the seed, the birds ate some. Some were scorched by the heat. Some were choked by weeds. But others prospered. Now, as this is one of Jesus' first parables, he kind of has to explain the whole idea of parables that he's going to use throughout his ministry. And he explains the parable of the sower in verses 18 through 23. There he tells us that the bird is the devil who comes and snatches the seed away. The scorching heat are hard times. And the weeds are the worries and cares of this world. But the prosperity, that comes through diligence, comes through understanding. Now, there are so many ways in this world to be misled. And there are really so few ways to find true success. It's easy to fail, and it's hard to succeed. So, I came up with 7 of the many rules that I'd like to give to moms, but I also want to challenge you because these rules aren't just for moms. They're for dads. They're for aunts. They're for uncles. They're for brothers and sisters. They're for friends. They're for church members. These are the rules that are for the adults in church when the kids are so noisy. These are the rules that are for us. Number one, we're not raising children, we're raising adults. Kind of goes without saying. We already have children. They need to be taught how to be adults. Number two, you have to be in it to win it. I kind of wrestled with that. I wish this morning when I went back over my notes, I wish I would have said you have to be in it to finish it. Because winning isn't really a good thought here. Finishing is a better thought. See, this is not, having a child isn't an 18-year commitment. It's a lifetime commitment. Recently, I saw that Melissa actually, had posted something on Facebook about saying that, don't people understand when they adopt a pet, you know, it's like a 10, 12-year commitment. That's kind of how it is with a pet. I know we love our pets, but you have your pet for the length of the life of your pet, then you're going to grieve a little while, and then you're going to get over it, and you're going to go on. But I tell you what, when you have a child you've got for your whole life, honestly, whether the child is alive or dead, you've got that child forever. And you have to be in it to win it. You have to be in, when you have a child, you're in it forever. It's a commitment for your entire life. So it's a very serious thing. So if you have young daughters and young sons, you need to talk to them about making sure that things come in order, that they have their children within the confines of marriage. Because this is the rest of their lives. It's not a game. It's life. Number three, I say, wear your mom badge proudly. You know, working with children through the years, I often meet children, I often meet the children first and then the mom second. So when the moms are introduced, they're always so-and-so's mom. Right? And sometimes you kind of never lose that. I've been helping my granddaughter's softball team this season. And so I'm not David, except to the players. To everybody else, I'm Adria's grandpa. Okay? That's just... But I want to tell you, I am not ashamed of that. And none of us should be ashamed of wearing that badge. And we should wear that label with pride. Even if our kid is a pain, wear it proudly. You know, there's a whole world out there that is just ready to point out your kids' flaws and their shortcomings, no matter your kid's age. There's a whole world that's ready to beat them down. But I'm going to tell you this, they've only got one mom to build them up. They've only got one dad to build them up. Do your job. Build them up. Now, some people might think, well, what if my kid's wrong? Get right down in the hole with them. Because everybody appreciates having somebody that will stand with them, especially when they're wrong. Be willing to get down there with them. Number four, give your child and yourself some credit. You know, as a child matures, parents need to shift the weight of decision-making from themselves to their child. Now, Julia has a couple of little ones. If she leaves it up to them, what's going to be for dinner? There's going to be a lot of Skittles and a lot of ice cream and a lot of white bread. So the decision has to be made for them. They have to be taught, you know, that the body has to be taken care of. But you know, one of these days those boys are going to grow up and they're going to move out and they're going to be on their own. And for the first few months they're going to be eating a lot of Skittles, a lot of ice cream, and a lot of white bread. And then they're going to come back and say, Mom, why do I feel so bad? Mom's going to say, well, so we have to help our children when they're little with decision making. But as time goes by, the balance of the weight needs to shift to the child. I've said many times through the years, and sometimes kind of tongue in cheek, but sometimes very seriously, I say that if I had my girls to raise again, after about their 10th birthday, I would never offer them any more advice. I would simply say, you know the difference between right and wrong. And let them figure it out and let them choose. Because there's just something about when the responsibility's yours, when it's on you, that the weight gets heavier. I used to tell my kids before they would go, I'm glad neither of them are here today. I used to tell them before they would go out, like when they were in high school and that age, before they leave, I'd say, now remember, we were living in Canada at the time, and I said, remember, we're the only Hodgins up here. And if any of your friends in college classmates ever meet any more Hodgins in their whole life, they're going to compare them to you. So you're representing the whole family. So be careful what you do. Be mindful of what you say. Because your behavior is going to establish who the Hodgins are for these people forever. I say, go have a good time. You got to give your kids some credit. And you know what? You got to give yourself some credit, too. You're working hard to raise your child. And you need to make sure that you're giving yourself some credit and that your lessons are taking hold, and you do that by shifting the responsibility to them. Number five, wear your faith on your sleeve. There's no Secret Service Christians, okay? Especially if you're the parent. Speak of God openly and frequently. Read your Bible regularly. And make sure that your children, regardless of your children's age, see you reading it. Put your Bible out on the coffee table. And don't let a quarter inch of dust build up on top of it. Okay? And don't let the bookmark sit in the same place for 30 years. Be opening that Bible. Be writing in it. Be marking it. Underlining it. Highlighting it. Put new bookmarks in it. And just let them know that you are a person who esteems the Scriptures. Make sure that your children know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Don't let them be people who think my mom and my dad read the Bible. Let them be people who know my mom, my dad, be mine. Now, pray about life. Yes, pray about everything. You know, Colleen mentioned that river caught the halibut. Okay? She says, it's so cute. 84-pound boy caught a 64-pound halibut. Okay? We're at the baseball game down in Bainbridge yesterday, and I get the text. There's a picture of a friend of the family called Uncle Chris. And Uncle Chris is holding the halibut, and River is right behind him. And you know how fish pictures are. Whatever's closest looks. So here's his halibut, looks about that tall. River looks about that tall. And he's standing behind him, and he had just grinned from ear to ear, so you know it's him. I didn't know it. You know what I thought of when I saw that story? I thought of, at our morning prayer, when Colleen said, Lord, take care of Chad and River when they go out fishing today. And Lord, since it's River's birthday, help him to catch a halibut. I tell you what, be a mom that prays. Be a dad that prays. Be a grandpa and a grandma that pray. It makes a difference. It will fortify your faith and theirs and your husband's. Be a person that prays. Now, if your children, and this is the case with lots of us, maybe your child, you know, is kind of grown up or thinks they're grown up, and they have a faith that's not as strong as yours. Maybe they don't have any faith at all. A good thing to apply in this situation is what I call muttering prayers. Not mothering, muttering. These are short prayers that you say under your breath, just loud enough for the other person to hear. Kind of muttering. Lord, help them. The kid's talking to you, telling you about the day, and you're just like, oh Lord, be with them. Kids are telling you about all the stuff going on in their life, and you're just like, Jesus, we need you. And you know, it just sinks in, that thought that mom's on my side, dad's on my side, believe in me and my parents are praying for me. It makes a difference. When you've got people on your team, the biggest difference is when your dad and mom are. So be on your kids' team. Wear your faith on your sleeve. Read your Bible. Pray. Make sure your kids know it. Do whatever you need to do. Be gently reminding them that God. I used to sing that little children's song. Our kids learned it like Vacation Bible School or Children's Church or something. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Yeah. Careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Yeah, you just drive down the road, get in the back seat, you know, 15, 16 years old. Careful, little mouth, what you say? So you gotta let them know. Number six, be a role model. You know, I hear a lot about parents that want to be their child's friend. Don't worry about being their buddy or their pal. Just be yourself. You know, there's so few people in this world that just truly want to be who God created them to be. And it seems like today, in today's society, when you say, I just want to be who I'm created to be, somehow that means you're supposed to be a transvestite or a gay or something. Well, I tell you, I just want to be who God created me to be. God didn't create me to be somebody else. He didn't create me to pretend. He didn't create me fake. He didn't create me to do anything. He didn't create me to butter up other people. He created me to be me. He created you to be you. We're different, but that's okay. We have different interests. Different things that draw us. Be yourself. Make sure that you're being somebody that your children is going to look up to. I could stand here for a long time and tell you my father's faults, but I'm going to tell you this. I think the biggest impact he had on my life was the fact that I heard him swear twice in my life. It makes it a lot easier for me to think about what's coming out of my mouth as opposed to having had a father who was just animated and explosive, carrying on. So I want to challenge you, moms and dads, don't swear. Just clean up your language. Use your mouth to edify the people in your life. All of them, not just your kids. All of them. Even to edify that nosy neighbor that lives behind you. Let your words speak blessings, not curses. Don't do drugs. Don't drink too much. If you need help, get the help you need. Take care of yourself. Smile and laugh as often as you can. Be faithful, dependable, keep your word. Be a role model. Be somebody that your children are going to say, I want to grow up and be like my mom. I want to grow up and be like my dad. I want to grow up and be like that man that was in my church, who was always kind to me. I want to be like that lady that was in my church, who always had time for me. That's who I want to be like. To be that role model, that's so important. That our young people have that. So they're not online, you know. One of the things that still cracks me up, because the last presidential election, when Sarah Palin, maybe it was the one before, Sarah Palin anyways was running, And some artist came out, her name was Pink, and she was opposed to Sarah Palin. And I'm like, seriously, does anybody care if somebody named Pink has an opinion? But obviously people do care, because it was on the news. Baffles me. Those aren't role models, those are strangers. We just get a glimpse of them. Be the person that the people in this community can look up to. And number seven, be the builder. The builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. So be the rock. Be the one who is steadfast. If your kids are behaving poorly, breaking your heart, be the one who does not give up on what God can do in their lives. You might give up on your kid, but you don't have to ever give up on what God can do with your kid.
Amen.
One of my favorite Bible verses is Psalm 121, verses 1 through 3. When I read it a little different than it's actually printed. So printed is up here, going to be up there, right there. So print it out. But when I read it, this is what I read. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let that soak in a minute. I lift my eyes up to the hills. I look as far as I can see forward. Where does my help come from? When I'm standing in the valley of the shadow of death, where does my help come from? When I'm up to my neck, in a swamp, and alligators are swimming all around, I'm going to look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let my foot be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. I can call on him in the middle of the night. I can call on him in the middle of the day. I can call on him when things are bad, when things are good. He's always awake. He's always mindful. He's always listening. And he's always there. If I will lift my eyes up from my problem to the possibilities that rest in him. I wish I had a pea or something in my hand, but you're going to get the illustration anyway. Because if I take a pea, and I close one eye, and I pull it right up here, it's all I can see. It obscures everything. It's my world. It manages everything that I do. Because all I can see is just such a small amount of stuff on the peripheral of life. But you know what? If I take that pea and I put it out here, same pea, same size, if I open up the other eye, it's not bothering me at all. Let yourself see the world as God is calling you to see it. Have a full vision. Lift up your eyes to the hills. If you're going through hard times with your family, remind yourself, and this ought to be in the Bible, the proof's in the pudding. Okay? Let God do his work. Having children or sincerely praying for somebody will revolutionize. If you pray in faith, your prayer life will be revolutionized. Because when you pray, when we pray, oftentimes we pray, Lord, give my kids money, give them happiness, give them satisfaction, and take care of it. And then some trial happens in their life. They lose their job, their car breaks down, their wife or their husband is poor on them, and what are you praying? Lord, get them a job. Lord, help them to have the money they need. Help them to get along with their spouse. Lord bless. And the Lord is like, look, I'm trying to fix their eternal souls with trials and tribulation, and you're praying against everything I'm doing. So pray for your kids. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for these Be the builder. Be the one who makes the house. You can do it. None of us can do everything. But you know, if we trust in God, we can do what we need to do. Your particular child may be a handful. Your particular child may be an addict, may be a bum, or may be a saint. But whoever you are, and whatever choices, but whoever they are, and whatever choices that they have made, God chose you to parent them. You. My guess is, Michelle, that when Floyd came along, you must have thought, Lord, really? I've had six, and now you're giving me one that has special needs. What? Lord, what are you thinking? The Lord's saying, Michelle, we're going to straighten your life out. We're going to put everything together, and Floyd's going to lead the way. He's never going to take a step, but he's going to be in charge the whole time because he's working for me. And I want to tell you what. You look at your family and you will see that in so many of your children and those that are closest to you. If you will accept the role that God has placed on you, you will find that He is leading you to a place where you can succeed. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, But He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of My weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. You know what? We are all ill-equipped to do a lot of things in this world. There are many tasks that we cannot do. That's how it's supposed to be. Newsflash. We're in life over our heads, and none of us are getting out of here alive without God's help. We can only tread water so long, and then we're going down. But with God's help, we're going to make it. So, what kind of influence are you? This message, you know, I talk a lot about moms, but it really is for everybody. Each and every one of us. Be willing to learn. Be willing to grow. Be willing to let your faith go deeper and let your behavior become more righteous as the years go by. Some of you, you know, you're going to live a long and prosperous life and your children will be gathered around you at your funeral. Others of you are going to have that difficult task of being at your child's funeral. But it is God who's made perfect in weakness. And if you will let Him perfect you during those times, you are going to find that His plan for you has been perfect the whole time. Be faithful. Be confident. Be who God has called you to be. Can we do that? Sometimes I struggle with that, so I'm going to need some help and some encouragement. Will you help me? Will you encourage me? How about the person sitting next to you? You're going to help and encourage them. Battles of this life. You say, well, I need more help than they do. They've got it all together. I tell you what, anybody that's got it all together is, number one, probably putting on a good front. But number two, anybody that's got it all together because they know what the box looks like when it's been dumped out. So I just want to encourage you. Learn how to put stuff back in the box. Hang out with people that have it figured out. And you'll either find out they're faking or they have something that you need. Let them be your Lord. Let's stand together. I have to say, Lord, I need some extra help. I just need some help, Lord. I just need some touch. Father, I pray that you'd see these hearts and these hands. And I pray, Father, that you just minister here. That you'd help each one to be the person that you need them to be. Father, maybe they've got lots of years ahead of them. Maybe they've only got a few years ahead of them. But Father, from this day forward, they can do it. They can do it right. Every bit of it. Starting today. But they need your help. So, Father, remind them of who you created them to be and help them to stop being the person the world created them to be. Don't let the cares and the concerns of this world overtake them. But, Lord, let them be who you created them to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team, please come.